Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with T.G. Watkins, Director of Stocks over at Simpler Trading, also writer over at the Profit Pilot website, which I will link to below. Now T.G., most eyes being on the U.S. equity markets today, starting off this shortened trading week on the positive note here. We're almost at the market close as we are recording this, and the S&P is up 2.5%. NASDAQ faded a little off of its highs. That's also up right around 2.5%. Dow up about 2.25%. Overall, a strong day to start the week for the U.S. equity markets. But boy, oh boy, all I'm hearing is people saying, oh, this is just the start of another dead cat bounce, another bear market rally. No one seems to be getting excited. No one's saying, great, that was the bottom and we're going higher from here. What are your thoughts, TG? Any chance that this could be a more solid bottom?
Well, I definitely think that we're very oversold. We've hit a lot of things like ATRs and stuff that I use to tell me that we're oversold. We also see that price on the S&P has pulled, at least as of Friday, pulled away from the 8 EMA and is currently quite far away from the weekly 8 EMA. And so all of these things point to things being oversold for sure. And so getting a bounce today, not too much of a surprise. I was seeing some divergence through the MOXIE indicator on the 15-minute time frame. So you kind of mentioned my website, profitpilot.com, but really anybody go over there, check out the newsletters that I have. I have video newsletters, and I've been talking about this kind of stuff for the last three or four newsletters, and it's been tracking pretty well. So we've got that, and really just from a, you know, as with the market going up or down, when you get a really, really big move, it's probably going to either digest it for a little bit or start working to go the other way, since, you know, the market kind of ebbs and flows. So I wouldn't be looking for the market to fall apart from here. I would look for a reset to the upside, and then at some point, I'd probably look to short it again. Now, a couple things that I was talking to you before we got on the mic is that one thing to keep in mind, we have 4th of July coming up, and typically the week or a few days leading into the 4th of July is bullish. You know, tends to be something like, you know, rah, rah, go America, and we're not going to implode the markets going into 4th of July. So that's kind of something to keep in your back pocket.
Ooh, a little seasonality trend then there heading into the 4th of July. Who knows if this rally will even continue. It is the beginning of the week rally, so we've seen many rallies fade as the week progresses. TG, what about some of those gaps in the S&P chart on the daily chart? Came about a week and a half ago, about mid-June. Do you think those will get filled and that could be the topping pattern for this rally?
Yeah, we talk about those gaps a lot. I definitely think the lower gap, something between, 380 and 390, I'm pretty certain that's going to be filled. You know, I just look at the charts and that seems pretty easy. That would bring price back up to the SPY daily 21, which is pretty typical. Now, the other gap, which takes us to about 401, I could see that too, but I kind of feel like we might need to do some hammering out of a bottom and kind of getting a little bit more strength on the hourly chart, you know, like kind of an up and then a down and then an up in order to do that. I don't think we're just going to go pop, pop like a short squeeze to get back up there. I think it's going to have to, you know, kind of construct some support in order to then fill that one. And if that happens, that would put price over the hourly 200 SMA, which is definitely possible. And you can see that, like before, if you look back at May 27th, we did get price over the hourly 200. So we could be seeing a similar looking pattern as far as that goes, if it's going to happen. Now, if it does, I would be, again, looking to kind of short this stuff because it's over a downtrending hourly 200. That's not usually strong. The daily 50 would be back into play. That would be the underside of a trend line that I have. And yeah, we'll just kind of have to see how that goes. And that would be well over the daily 21, which tends to not be strength. You know, we've seen it even back to, say, February 1st and February 10th, where we got price over the daily 21, and those were both sell opportunities. So, you know, we'll have to take it step by step, but I think kind of if I were to spell it out a little bit, those are a few of the things that I'm looking for.
So TG, you have called this bounce. I've been reading over some of your material. How do you play this sort of a bounce, even if it is more of a dead cat or bear market rally?
Well, you know, kind of goes to how I teach things. And So if anybody's new to me, hasn't heard this stuff before, or is interested, really, I mean, come on over and, you know, come into the trading room and pick up my videos and stuff like that. But for what I'm looking at is this, we're looking for positive divergence on the 15-minute time frame, which we're seeing now. And then I have what's called a 50-250 maneuver, and we're basically right between that on the 15-minute time frame. And so I don't really want to go long here today, considering we had a strong move. I'd like to see it actually do something as far as confirming support. So I'm kind of waiting to see if tomorrow or the next day we actually get a move down. And if it does that, then it will probably be into support, and then we can see price move up a little bit. Now, if tomorrow's up, I still don't really want to go in because it's probably stretched, and then I want to see if it wants to roll over after that. So that's kind of my game plan. But essentially, we're trying to see price hammer at a bottom and see if it can get back on top of the hourly 50. And what that means, if you kind of want to see an example of that, look around May 20th to May 25th. And then you can see how price kind of hammered something out, finally got on top of the hourly 50 and then shot up. What I don't want to see is something around May 17th or even May 4th. If we got price to continue up, say, tomorrow, which would be the 22nd, that would that's price over a downtrending hourly 50. That's not supported. That's not a good thing. And so that's why I have two different ideas that, based on what we get tomorrow, how I'm going to react to that. But that hourly 50 is in a very sharp downtrend, and so it's going to take some time and some effort and some choppiness to hammer out a bottom in order to get that hourly 50 to change directions in order to provide some support.
Yeah, overall, hey, these markets, there's a reason why people continue to say that this is going to be a longer bear market and that this rally, well, isn't going to change that overall perception. Let's also talk about volatility, too, because broadly volatility has remained a little bit higher, rightfully so, during this bear market, this correction that is now about 5.5, almost 6 months long. What are you watching when it comes to volatility, and how are you using some of the volatility indicators to guide your trading?
Yeah, well, I think anybody who's heard me talk with you before knows I talk about the UVXY a lot, and I really do like that indicator. It's challenging. It's really challenging sometimes, but it does give me a good pulse on what's going on with the market and helps me with timing too. So we were able to see this last move up on the UVXY June 9th because we were getting significant positive divergences on the 15-minute time frame leading up to this. And I was communicating with my subscribers, telling them about this, and we actually had some people take it, and it worked out nicely for them. Now, the fact that the UVXY is kind of at this upper trend line and tends to fade from here, that was another call that I gave out to the subscribers saying, look, we tried to go long on the UVXY. It looked like it was topping out. We got out break even. And I said, I have a feeling this is actually going to move down the other way, which means the market's going to move up. And lo and behold, that's what's happening. So the fact that the market is oversold, we should see it trend up. I want to see the UVXY trend back down, and it's had a history recently of coming down to about $13, you know, give or take some coins, but about $13, and then it reverses. So again, timing wise, and with this whole 4th of July thing kind of in the back of my brain, I am curious to see if the UVXY will more or less trend down to about $13 leading up to 4th of July. And if the market will kind of trend up, and we'll have to see how everybody is in a festive move. Are we going to keep it festive going into 4th of July and then really pull the rug out after 4th of July? Or is this going to, you know, stay bullish for a little bit longer? But that's what I'm watching for as far as timing, is the UVXY coming back down to that support area. And I think that's when we need to watch, because something's going on. Like, something serious is going on with the UVXY. This thing is coiling, and it's doing a pennant. And it looks like the next time this thing wants to go, it's really going to go. So again, keep an eye on the timing about this. But I do think something big is going to happen at some point. We're just not quite sure when.
So are you drawing a pennant formation on that daily chart then? If so, where does that pennant really come to an end?
Well, I am. And that's why I'm saying $13. You know, watch, $13 has been a pretty good base. The question is if it can finally break out. This last time it got stopped at about 1750. The time before that, I got stopped out about 1950, and before that, it was about 22 and something. So it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and that's why I'm, I don't know, but if this next one, when it cycles down to 13, there's not much more room for it to get rejected. I mean, I guess that brings us down to about $16, and I don't know, is it going to do it again? You know, how many times is this thing going to ping pong between this pennant and these trend lines before it finally pops? And that's the question. And I think when it does, we should really be keeping an eye on that.
TG, what about the energy sector? More specifically, oil. Oil got hit at the tail end of last week. I've talked about it a couple times already, but it went from 120 down to about 110. Seems to be stabilizing right around 110, just above there. But oil really is the last sector that has outperformed and bucked the downtrend that every other market seems to be in. Could that have marked a top for oil?
Yes, I would agree with that. So oil over the last couple big market downturns has been the last thing to hold up. And when it lets go, that's when the market tends to let go. And I don't normally trade oil. So this last trade that we had with XOP/Gush on about May 20th, I kind of got into it kicking and screaming because it's just not my thing. But the chart looked amazing. And we got in and it ran, I don't know, for 2 weeks or something. We got about 40% gain out of that. And it was such a good move. It was too good. And I said, this is a problem. You know, again, everything I talk about with my subscribers and how I teach and all this stuff, I said, this was too good of a move. It did not test any support on the way up. It just ran. And that is not structurally sound. And it's unsupported. And there's a lot of air pockets underneath. So we literally got out at the top. I'm looking at XOP. We got out at 168 and change, and then it rolled over. I mean, I almost wish I shorted this thing with drip, but I don't tend to short things that are just, I think, are going to pull back. But this thing came all the way back down, and that was a big deal. So yeah, I think oil is toast. It might bounce from this kind of really oversold condition, sure. But after this bounce, you know, if we get the market to bounce, if we get oil to bounce a little bit, I'd kind of be looking to start shorting some of this stuff and watching out below for the market in as a whole. We even saw USO do the same thing. I mean, it just ran up just straight, and it was too good, and it hit all these upper things. It didn't touch any support on the way. And I was like, this feels like a blow off top. This feels like an exuberant run, kind of get that hockey stick move. It did a little double top and then it rolled over. And I'm looking at individual names like CVX or, you know, APA or just any oil names. I'm like, wow, these things really got hit. KMI is another one I was kind of looking at. I was like, whoa, these things didn't just pull back. They broke and they came really, really all the way back down to some. I mean, yeah, I'm looking at KMI. I mean, it went from 20 to 16, and 16, that was a huge move down, and it did it in just a matter of days. So you got to look at that and say something serious is going on here. Now, of course, dead cat bounce, you know, oversold bounce, something like that. Sure. That's why we're going to try and get this timing figured out. But that is some serious stuff. And you got to be awake and aware of that.
TG, what do you think is going to end this bear market? It still seems like we're, let's say, middle innings, maybe even still early innings of this bear market. It seems like, again, central banks are really pushing everything down. Is that going to be the switching point? What is going to turn this market in your eyes?
Well, I think the probably the clearest thing is going to be when the Fed turns tail. You know, they're raising interest rates. And I guess, you know, everybody says, well, when the Fed capitulates, meaning when the Fed actually says, oh, OK, we need to stop raising rates and actually start easing again, that's going to be the sign. OK, but what does that mean? What's it going to look like? How does our world look in order to do that? Well, the Fed and everything else that's going on in the world, literally the world, I mean, we're seeing inflation just rampant. Oil is super expensive, all this stuff. I mean, commodity prices are so, so high that we basically need to push ourselves into a recession just to stop this. You know, this snowball keeps going. And the only way to stop the snowball is to just break its back. And we do that by, you know, stopping demand. And you stop demand by kind of throwing ourselves into a recession. So honestly, you know, they talk about soft landing. Well, whether it's soft or hard, we're going to have to, you know, roll this airplane over and start pointing down. So the stats are that with recessions and bear markets, the shortest one is 12 months. And typically, and that's without a recession. If we have a recession, it's closer to 18 months. And I think we're going to have our second quarter GDP come out. I'm totally expecting it to be negative. I mean, why would it be positive? You guys have been seeing what's going on out there. And so I think that we're probably halfway, a third of the way into this bear market. It's basically started December-ish as far as it, like officially as far as the market goes. So yeah, we're only 6 months in. So we have at least six and maybe 12 more to go.
Yeah, I'm with you, TG. It really is just one of those where it seems like we just need to get it over with. But this bear market, this potential upcoming recession, really taking its time to get here. And still seems like there's a lot more pain to go as long as, I guess, inflation stays high and the Fed and other central banks keep on tightening. TG, thank you, as always, for your time, man. We'll chat again in a couple of weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Corey.